Morning, good morning. Wow. 9 o'clock service. Look at this house. Man, it's so good to see everybody at the 9 o'clock. And I mean, listen, I'm just going to say this. We're going to be talking about thankfulness. And I want to say for all the naysayers, I thought LSU did a pretty good job last night. Come on, they might not have won, but they played good. So I'm just want to say that today. And yeah, it was just exactly so. So I'm excited about that. And I'm excited about you, and I'm excited about the kingdom of God. And today's going to be a very, very special day. For this series that we're doing this month, with every single breath we take, we should be thankful. Amen. Because without the working of the Spirit in our life, without the hand of God on our life, where would we be today? So I want you to take a deep breath right now. Exhale. Be thankful for that breath right there. That's God's gift to you. And God loves you so much. So much. And so we're going to do something special today. We're going to start out today, this series out today, with some people giving some thanks for some very special things in their life. Now, these people are amazing. And a lot of them you don't get to hear from. But they're super amazing people, and I'm super excited. So today's going to be, they're going to get to preach, and then I'll wrap it up at the end. But we'll start with Miss Rita today. I may have turned it off.
Amen. I am so thankful to be part of this house. You have no idea the magnitude of my gratitude to be part of this assembly. And that being said, I want to tell you how thankful I am for the revelation of the Father's heart of love for me. I have been a believer for 38 years. I got born again when I was 19. And for the balance of those years, I was in religion, bound in the house of my father because he was being misrepresented. And last year, after a series of things that had gone on for about the last 8 years, God was trying to tell me some things, and because of religion, those things couldn't possibly be so, but it was lining up with his word. So God, either you're right or they're right. And God, you don't ever tell a lie. So I got to take some time, God, and get along with you. And you and I, we're going to have to hash this out, because I need to know what is real and what is true and what is right and what is you. Because in you, I have life. So I'm thankful that he walked me through a journey last year. And in that journey, he made his love for me so real and so easy to obtain. All I had to do was say, yes, I receive it. Thank you. I didn't have to do anything. I didn't have to perform anything. I didn't have to be good enough. I didn't have to try to get his approval, because when he created me, I was already approved of. I'm thankful for that, because for so many years of my walk with him, it was walking along something aside, something else was saying, I got to get him to approve of me. I got to get him to just like me. And I did not know that he did a whole lot more than just like me. He loved him some Rita. He loved him some Rita. In all of her quirkiness and all of this other stuff, he made me exactly the way he wanted me to be, so he could love me just the way I am. I'm thankful for that. I'm thankful for the word where he says he leads us in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. My path is not everybody else's path. And I had to come to the revelation of that. If I'm not just like you, that's okay. If you don't do it just like me, that's okay too. Because Jesus Christ is our example. He's a sample son. He's the one I'm to line up with. And all I do is get inside him and stay right there. In Christ, I'm accepted in the beloved. I'm thankful for that. I'm thankful that in this last year, I have seen his faithfulness to me on a level that it's almost hard for me to put it in words, because I'm so thankful. I can trust him. I can trust him. And it's not because what I do. It has nothing to do with how well I perform it. It's just he is faithful and I can trust him. And as I look into his word and he talks to my spirit and he says, Rita, as you trust me, I will sustain you. And I've seen his sustaining grace this last year. I've seen him open doors that other people say, that's not going to happen for you. But he did it.
Yes, he did.
He did it. I have just got to give this little testimony, and then I'm going to wrap this up. I am literally walking and riding on Romans 8:28. He says, for we know that all things work together for the good of them that love God and who are the called according to his purpose. Now, I know he loves me, but do you know he said, I'm going to reward you and bless you because you love me back.
Yes.
Wow. I'm riding in a car that's 14 years old. And he told me to go out there and speak to that car when that car would not work. He said, I want you to speak to it. And I'm thinking, God, this is a car. He says, it's a thing. And I said, all things will work together for your good. And he said, he reminded me of Mark 11, 23 and 24. He says, if you will say to this mountain, that car was my mountain. He said, be removed. Say, you move. And don't doubt in your heart, but believe those things you say will come to pass. You will have what you say. Next week on Thursday, it will be 3 months. I spoke to that car. I spoke to that car, the word of God, and commanded it to work. And if you've not seen me in church, it wasn't because the car was broke. It wasn't because it wouldn't crank. He is showing me the power of his word. He speaks the truth, and his word is truth. And he says he upholds all things by the word of his power. I'm literally riding on the word of God.
Our sister is the one that was just in the wreck, so she's got a little teary-eyed up here, but we got her all fixed up. She's ready to go. God is good. So tell them who you are.
I'm Bethany Santani, and I'm thankful for a lot of things, but I'm just going to share the top three today. First thing I'm thankful for is that I'm just a pilgrim passing through, and up in heaven, Jesus has got a mansion where I can spend all my time with him. Amen. The second thing I'm thankful for is my family, because they support me, love me, and teach me about God. Amen. The third thing I'm thankful for is this amazing church, The Harbor, because I think Jesus really touched me.
Amen.
And Jesus is really telling me to say that the story of like when we got flooded, because when we got flooded, we were worried. We almost had about like 3 feet in our house of water, but we had to go over to our next door neighbor's house. He couldn't even drive his truck down the road. He had to come in his boat. Our yard looked like an ocean. But a rescue tractor came and picked us up, and we went to this church that was locked. But that's when Jesus really touched us, because the people that own the church came and unlocked the church so that we can go charge our phones, get some drink, and we can go use the bathroom.
Yeah,
and then we went down to the road where we could get out, and it was filled with water, like a current, and we couldn't get over there by walking. We had to, then just in time, a truck came over and picked us up and brought us across, and our Aunt Donna was over there, and she took us in like we were her children. And we went to her house for a couple of weeks, and then we found an apartment, and that's where we're living right now, and we're up on our feet, and God just helped us through those couple of weeks.
I'm Giovanni Gonzalez, and I am super thankful for my parents. 3 years ago, I had to get surgery on my back because I had scoliosis, and they were going to put rods in. And so while I was on the bed being prepped for surgery, they gave me medicine, and they were starting to bring me to the surgery room. And right before I got in, God just spoke to my heart, and he said, "Don't worry, my son, I'm here." And all the nervousness and not knowing what was going to happen after that, I just felt the presence of God, and I was confident in that nothing was going to go wrong, and nothing did go wrong. And then so after the surgery, when I woke up, I was on my stomach, so they flipped me. And then I just remember seeing my parents, and that just showed me God's faithfulness through them, that they're always looking out for me like God is. And after that, the nurse wanted me to walk, and so my mom tried to help me get up and walk, but the nurse wouldn't let her. And just my mom doing that, again, showed me that God is always there to help me no matter what. And so I did get up, and God did give me the strength to get up and start walking because I couldn't. And I'm thankful for God's faithfulness in every situation.
So those of you who don't know us, I'm Matt. This is my wife, Amanda. We've been at the Harbor for almost 12 years now. This morning when I woke up, I wasn't really sure, you know, what I was going to share. You know, there's so many things that we can be thankful for. The grace of God, just, I'm on a 2.5 year just love journey with God. You know, I've been a Christian my whole life, but so I could talk about that. I could talk about a wife who has got more grace than anybody I know on this planet for me, you know, what could have been a broken marriage. But I really feel, and I might share something different in second service, but I feel like I'm supposed to share this story. And if you're a youth, you heard it, a portion of it the other day. I'm just going to tell it again. And God's been dealing with me for the past month and a half, maybe 2 months, on identity and sonship and just all of these things. So if you do not know Todd White, you should check him out. But my identity in my mind was, Matt, you are just like Todd White. So we went to a conference and we came home, and I really felt like I got an impartation. You know, I'm going to be just like Todd White. I'm going to love like Todd White. Yay, yay, God. Okay? So I made a decision, and I'm going to walk around, and I'm still doing this, but I'm going to walk around the city of Hammond, starting with governmental buildings. I've done that. Just lay hands on the buildings, just praying blessings over our government, over the city, that they will make the right decisions. From there, I went to the campus, and it was about a week between times that I was able to do this. So I stopped at the campus. I only had about 15 minutes, so I was just going to walk for a few minutes and pray, hopefully meet some people. And as soon as I got out of my truck, I got on the path and I was walking, and there was a guy, he was running towards me. And the Holy Spirit spoke to my heart. He said, that guy runs marathons. He's rehabbing his knee and he's in pain. Well, this guy wasn't limping and he was in great shape. So I'm like, okay, God, okay. So I stop him. He's running. I stop him. I'm like, look, man, are you rehabbing your knee right now? And he says, yeah. You know, how do you know that? What's going on? And I'm like, man, look, Jesus loves you, and Jesus does not want you to be in pain anymore. So can I pray for you? He's like, man, you're kind of weird. I was like, yeah, but just, man, I know that Jesus loves you, and he's going to heal your knee. Can I pray for you? And I went down on one knee, and I touched his knee. It was his left knee. And I said, Father, thank you for Mr. James. And as soon as I said Mr. James, he said, oh, my God, hold on a second. How do you know my name? And I said, I don't know, but Jesus loves you. Check your knee. And his knee was healed. It was amazing. It was awesome, phenomenal. This guy was freaked out. He backed up. He's like, okay, I'm going to go now. And as he was running away, I'm like, man, Jesus loves you, Mr. James. Just chasing this guy down the sidewalk because I was so excited. Nothing like that's ever happened to me before. So I get back in the truck, and I'm like, fist bump, Holy Spirit. I'm yeah, you know, that was awesome. Just like Todd White, yay, God. And the Holy Spirit spoke to me. He said, Matt, you're never going to see Mr. James again. And I'm like, that's okay because his knee doesn't hurt. And the Holy Spirit said, Matt, his knee was healed, but he just thinks you're a weirdo. I'm like, okay, what are you trying to tell me? And he's like, I've given you the gifts that you've asked for, and that's awesome, but I've called you to discipleship. Amen. But what was unique about that is nobody really knows this unless you're really close to me. I grew up in a really abusive home. Verbally abused, physically abused. I was beat up all the time. I moved out of the house when I was 16 years old. So identity for me from a father was dummy, you're stupid, who do you think you are? You're never going to amount to anything. What was unique about that experience with the Holy Spirit is that was the first time that I heard him call me son. Amen. And that might not mean a lot to you guys, but to me, that's my identity. I am a son of God. And there is nothing that any of you people can do about that. She can't do anything about that. Because I am a son of God. So that's what I'm thankful for. I'm thankful for my identity in Christ. I'm thankful that I am going to be able to do what I am called to do. And I just love Jesus, and I love all of you guys.
It was 5 minutes for each of us, right? Okay. Okay. I am thankful for his grace. If God handed me my book, the name of the book would be Grace, because that has been my life, Grace. I could tell you it's been way longer than 5 minutes on all of the moments of grace that he's given me and that he has shown me and that he's poured on me and the healing that it brought. But I just feel like I need to share this one moment, and it's a very childlike moment that happened just last weekend that it wasn't a need, it was just a want. And God seen it and cared about it and said, I'm going to give it to you. But last week when we went to Ramp, my favorite singer was there, and I'm literally like 10 years old when I'm around her. Or, well, it was the first time I was ever around her, but love her and what her music does. And she was on the stage, and I'm just like, you know, 10 years old again, like, oh, I wonder how much anointing is in her sweat, you know, like, oh, she just, I want that water bottle she just, like, drank out of. Like, seriously, like, 10 years old. But it was, like, in my heart, like, she was the singer at the call, So when I hear her, it takes me back to everything God poured on me at the call. That's what her music represents to me. Not only just the words are just, my spirit just like rumbles when I hear the words that she sings. So she means way more to me than I probably mean to her. But that night, Saturday night, it was the last night there, last night to hear her, and I was just like, oh, didn't even say it out loud, just said it in my heart. God, I would love to just say hi to her, just meet her. But quickly it was like, she's not coming out. You know, she would be like ambushed if she came out. I completely understand, like, but oh, I would love it. The next day, Angela went on downstairs and I came back just few moments, like moments later. I come out of the elevator and I see Angela's face, like completely like not clueless to what, you know, God is about to do. I walk out of the elevator and five steps, bam, there she is. And when I say I lost it, is an understatement. I snotted on her shoulders. Like, it was bad. It was bad. But walked out and was like, shaking. But it wasn't just that, you know, here she is, my, you know, favorite singer. It wasn't just that. When I hugged her, I felt God's love just open. Like, he turned the faucet on and said, baby, it wasn't a need. It was a want. It was a desire of your heart. And I seen it. I heard it. So keep dreaming with me and I'll keep giving you the desires of your heart. It was just a moment, and maybe it meant something to her to see the outcome of her music. Maybe it was just as much of a blessing to her. But for me, it was more than that. It was God saying, I see you. I hear you. Keep dreaming.
I want to do one more thing. I get to work in the kids department. I'm one of the lucky ones. I want Bethany to come here. I want y'all to know something about this little girl right here. She is so special, and she loves Jesus so much. And I love her. She is beautiful and kind, and she worships, and this little girl loves Jesus. And I'm so proud of her.
Morning. Michelle Bro thinks nobody knows me, so she wanted me to introduce myself. I'm Eddie Joe Wagner. I don't get to come here a whole lot, so I guess that was appropriate, Michelle. Thanks. Maybe some of y'all don't know me, but I'm thankful for the little things, you know, in life. I think we got to be really appreciative and be thankful for the little things to really appreciate and receive the bigger things in life, you know. I'm a simple-minded guy, you know. I'm thankful that I can come up here and stand in front of all these people, and my butt not itch, and I have to scratch it. That'd be embarrassing, you know. But on the other hand, I'm also thankful that I'm just an old country boy raised on the north end of Pea Ridge. If it did, I'd just itch it, you know. So, because in reality, I really don't care what you think about me. I want to be pleasing to my Father. Amen. And all that I do, I just want to please him. I used to want to please man, and I tried real hard and worked real hard and even tried to be somebody I wasn't for a long time. And I finally realized that if I could please God and just be who he created me to be, I have so much more to be thankful for. Hallelujah. Because when I got to that point in my life, I could tell you it changed, you know. When I said, you know what, I just want to be a man of integrity and be pleasing to my Father's sight. And then all else just works. If I please God, y'all going to be pleased with me, right? And if you ain't, then oh well. God bless you. But I guess I'm thankful for so many things. I'm thankful that one of my best buds is a pastor at his church, and I can call on him at any time, and he's there for me, you know. And I'm thankful for my beautiful wife that stood by me for so many years. But I'm real thankful for the fog in my life. Why y'all looking at me like I'm crazy? Fog is probably so thick in my life I can't even see y'all right now. You know? If you know, y'all that think I'm talking about early in the mornings when it's cool and you go through an open field and road and you can't see your headlights in front of you, that's about what it is, but it's actually the favor of God on my life. Yes. And I am so thankful for that fall, favor of God, that it overwhelms me at times. It's just unexplainable. But I wrote down a bunch of notes on the favor of God and all that. I give them to Amanda. She didn't use them. Where's my notes, man? Okay. But I just want to share a few things with you that just God spoke to my heart about the favor of God. If you got God's favor, that's all you really need in life. And he wants to share his favor with you. Trust me. Some things I wrote down, I got a lot of scripture. I'm going to just lay what he laid on my heart. When God grants you his favor, nothing can stop the blessing he has in store for you. When you got God's favor, it don't matter. It don't matter about nothing else. When you are going through tough times, instead of becoming discouraged, start declaring and expecting God's favor over your life. I've gotten good at that. When things get bad, God has showed me when I didn't know, when times was just terrible. I think he let it get to a point to where it was unfixable before he showed up and fixed it. Just so I would know it was God and wasn't me, right? Does that make sense? Other people may have more talent than me. A lot do. Education or experience, but God's favor can cause you to go places you would not go on your own. And I'm telling y'all, as a living example, I'm that person. God has took me farther than people that's worked harder, that's more educated, that's smarter, that's all of them things. But God chose me, and I thank God for that. To win God's favor is far better than to win the lottery. Amen. You think money would give you everything, but I promise you it can't touch God's favor. That's right. You could have millions of dollars and not walk in the peace of God if he don't have his favor over your life. Right. What about all them movie stars, commit suicide, drug addictions? I mean, they got all the money, right? They got more money than they can spend. They're not happy. They not walking in God's favor. I wouldn't trade places with them guys. Wouldn't do it. When God has selected you, it doesn't matter who else has rejected you or neglected you. God's favor overweighs all oppositions. You are a winner when you have God's favor on your life. Regardless. He's chosen you, and he be for you, he'll be against you. You are victorious. Amen? Amen. I am greatly blessed, highly favored, and deeply loved by my Father. Amen. Amen. Pastor wants me to share just a few testimony things that's happened in my life. And this, I'm not lying. Before I start, okay, I'm telling y'all the truth. I don't make this stuff up. It's going to sound unbelievable, but I'm just bragging on God. Amen? And what he's done in my life. I started a business 21, two years ago. Went to study, went to school, got my commercial license. Boy, I was going to be big, had big plans and great expectations, but I was broke. You know, it takes money to do things. I just had the vision, but didn't really have the finances, so I started poor man's way, you know. But I had a vision. Well, my first commercial job that I had, was the old Durham Autoplex in Hammond. They was tearing it down, a lot of cement. And I reached out there and grabbed it probably for way less money than I should have, but I was going to make it work because, it, you know, it was a dream. I hired a truck driver from Walker, wasn't really familiar with the area. He was hauling the material back to my house in the field I had. We was burying it there. And he ran a stop sign, ended up killing one of my neighbors, you know. It was tragic, terrible. I mean, I just didn't even want to work no more, really, you know. But I, getting inundated with lawsuits and everything else, and rightfully so, you know. I mean, I felt terrible. But just a few weeks later, I had this old raggedy truck that was wore out, but it was all I could afford. Two axles came off the back, dual tires. I was driving down the road, big load of sand, 18-wheeler, you know. I was living the dream, right? I saw these tires pass me. I was like, where'd that come from? Not even realizing until my truck did like that it was my wheels. It was like slow motion. I watched them go through the media. Oh, and I was praying, Lord, just let them die out in that grass. But they was just gaining speed because they was in front of me, you know. And it was two 18-wheeler tires. Y'all know what I'm talking about, heavy, with the hubs and wheels and all on them, the axle sticking out. Watched it cross the interstate in dead center a car. Car went flipping through the woods, total destroyed it. I got stopped, run over there thinking surely they was dead, you know. But she wasn't, praise God. But there again, lawsuits pursued. We was getting served these papers, and I was like, we're going to lose our house, our home, our business. This just wasn't meant to be. I don't know what happened to none of that. You know? Never heard from it again. Never went to court, never. It just vanished. I didn't hire a lawyer. I was just going to take it, whatever, you know. So y'all tell me. God was my lawyer. Amen? It just went away, and I can't explain that. So I got to making a little money, amen, buying bigger and better things, and thought it wasn't going to end, and got way in over my head. My equipment notes was $36,000 a month at one time, you know, and I was like, Jesus. Just got overwhelmed, about to lose everything that I had because the money just wasn't coming in to meet the end of the month. And I remember, not to the penny, but I was about, I don't know, $228,000 that I owed that month to just keep from losing everything I had. And a guy knocked on, rung my doorbell, and I went to the door, and he said, hey, I'm such and such, work for so and so. I want to talk to you about leasing a right-of-way or whatever. I was like, okay, I'm not interested. He's like, well, can I just go over? He opened a folder. He had a check, top of the folder made out to me. And I looked at it. I looked again. I was $229,000. I said, what you want to do? He said, we just want to lease a right-of-way through you. I said, Is that mine? He said, well, I was hoping you would be willing to accept this today. We can sign right here and be done with it. I said, it's still my property. He said, yeah. That was a no-brainer. Where'd that come from? I was broke the next week, but guess what? I didn't owe nobody now. Amen? Huh? I didn't owe nobody now. So, if that ain't God's favor, then I'm not standing here looking at y'all. Amen? I couldn't do that. I couldn't create that. I didn't even have no idea. You know what I'm saying? Another time, some land come up for sale by my house, about 300 acres. Oh, God, I wanted. I wanted to own some land, you know. I talked to my buddy about it. He wasn't even he was my pastor, but I didn't come to church here, but we was best buds, you know, and he always did the pastoral role in my life for 15, 20 years now, but He told me, and I always took his advice till this time. He said, don't do that. That's more than you can afford. You don't need to do that. He told me, all my buddies that I prayed with in the mornings told me, stay away from that, Ed Joe. That's not a good idea. But just something in me, if I could get it financed, then God wants me to have it, right? Well, that ain't always the case. Satan will set you up. So against better advice, I went ahead and bit off more than I could chew. Couldn't afford the note, right? So I was paying the interest only, $4,500 a month. Wasn't even paying on the principal. But man, I had the land. I bought it. I could say that was mine in the banks. Mostly the banks. But it got hard, and I was like, man, I should have listened to my buddies. I should have listened to Pastor Marvin when he told me, don't do that. And there we went, back down again, trying to make a $4,500 interest note that I had no business making to begin with. But you know what God did? He showed up in that. Even in my bad decisions, my bad choices, I sold some land in that round of roads for 4 or 5 times more than I paid for it. And the same guy that I bought the land from come back and give me $250 an acre more than I give him for it for the swamp in the middle. Who does that? Only God. Amen? Just here recently, am I running out of time, Pastor? My wife's doing this. Business got really, really, really bad. Better than all them other times, believe it or not. And, I went from my company grossing $5-6 million a year to, $2 million to $300,000 to I was taking $300,000 out of my personal, trying to make it go, and I sold my land, my farm, everything that I worked for just about. It's down to 50, 40, 35 acres. I told my wife, I said, we're going to lose it all. There's no end. It ain't going to stop, you know. I said, ain't one thing me to do, just get out now, go get a job. And I've never worked for nobody. I've been self-employed my whole life. I rodeoed from high school to 10 years later than I started my own business, you know. But I got a job and a good job, you know, good paying job. I was thankful for that. God had favor on me in that itself. That's another whole message. But everybody was telling me, man, just file bankruptcy. Let it go, start over. Lawyers, pastors, friends say, that's why bankruptcy's there. Bankruptcy ain't a bad thing. That's why they got it there. People like you, losing everything. Just file bankruptcy. Just something in me couldn't do that. I figured if I owed a man, I need to pay the man. And I just had no peace. I had good friends, pastors tell me, Eddie Joe, you're the perfect candidate. File bankruptcy and be done with it and start over. Get a clean slate. Me and my wife prayed about it. That ain't God. We ain't going to do that. So we just kept grinding. Long story short, I won't get into all the details, but I said, ain't no way. I owe $900,000+, and I'm working on salary. I don't know how I'm going to pay that. Well, I ended up selling some more stuff, some more land, some more equipment, sold all my business, got it down to where it was halfway manageable. Still couldn't make the payment, right? But I was trying. We were struggling. And then God showed up again. Amen. Got another man come to my house. I don't remember the numbers, but it was astronomical. $300,000+ come out of nowhere that I didn't even earn. Where does that come from? It's the favor of God. was able to take that money. Broke 2 weeks later, but we didn't owe nobody nothing. Amen? Standing here today, all I owe is a house note. All I owe is a house note. And I thank God for that. I thank God for that. But only God and the favor He's had on my life has covered all my stupid decisions that I've made. Amen? So when God's favor is on your life, even I can't even mess that up. I try, but I can't mess that up. God is good. God is good. And what God can do for me, He's no respecter of person.
That's right,
He'll do for you. But I will say this. I got one more thing, Pastor. God showed me way back, there's one thing that He looks down. I mean, the Bible speaks of Him looking down upon us, looking for someone to pour His favor out on. Well, how do you be that someone? Favor ain't fair, Pastor. It ain't fair. But He showed me this a long time ago. People don't even realize it sometimes. But what stops the blessings, God's favor, from being in your life? It's offense. You could be offended with someone or something that you don't even realize. But when you are offended, it is a fence between you and heaven. A brick wall that the favor will not flow through. I had to pray for my enemies from my heart and believe God was going to bless them first. Just so I could walk in forgiveness and not be offended. And that's when God showed me years ago that He can't do nothing for me if I can't walk with and refuse to be offended for Him. How can you love a God you can't see if you can't love a brother here you can see? Amen. So I guess all the goodness of God, the most important thing I can tell you today, don't have no offense in your life. Be free of offense where God's blessings can flow through us. Amen? Pastor asked me to share what I was thankful for, and more so the favor of God on my life. I mean, he tells everybody that he knows no man that's got God's favor like I do. And I agree with that. I don't know nobody that's in God's favor. And, you know, and I'm so thankful for that. So thankful. And this morning I told everybody about all the great things that God has done in my life financially. Million so dollars that come from the sky, basically, just from nowhere, that saved my home, my marriage, me, you know. And that was all great. And I had several people after the service tell me it touched them and they was blessed by it. And, you know, praise God, it was all God. And I prayed that God could remove me and use me. I pray that every day, that I could walk in integrity and do what God, was pleasing to God, not pleasing to man. And it was all good and stuff. And after it was over with, it's like the Holy Spirit said, well, you told them what you was, you know, the favor of God on life and what you was thankful for. And I mentioned my wife, what I'm so thankful for, and my kids. I mean, what a blessing. My relationship with my pastor. But I didn't mention one time about my salvation. Because without that, I wouldn't be here. Without that, I wouldn't have God's favor. Without that, I wouldn't be married today. And God ministered that to my heart after the service. And it was a couple things that I really thought was big in your life, Eddie Joe, that you just didn't even mention. I mentioned the things that was cool, but I didn't even mention a couple of things that was very, 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 very important in my life. And one was when I was wallowing in a sewage ditch And God reached down and pulled me out and cleansed me.
Hallelujah.
Amen. Amen. But even deeper than that, there's people in here that I think needs to hear another side of my testimony, other than how great God is and what God's done in my life. Well, this goes along with that, but other than financially, that's all great. But I think God really needs to minister to some people personally, more intimately. Is that all right, Pastor, if I go there? I just want to share a little bit about God's favor on my life in a whole different way. The salvation is where it started. But even before that, I was raised an old cowboy, North Livingston Parish on Pea Ridge Road. And I loved the, just the cowboy way, you know. Remember my little son when he was smaller, Luke, he used to tickle me. He said, "Daddy, when I get older, I'm going to move to Wild Wild West." He really thought the Westerns he saw on TV was real, you know. And I didn't tell him no difference, you know. I thought that was cool. But I was 13 years old. I just got my first big horse. He was about that tall. I graduated from a little horse to first big horse. Called him Shorty, but it was my first big horse. And we had planned a trip, you know, go ride and camp out on in the woods on the canal bank behind the house. And they go, and I couldn't wait. My mom and dad was leaving to go out of town somewhere. I don't even remember. But I woke up that morning and my knee was big as a basketball, literally. Basketball, and I couldn't bend it, couldn't move, and it was hurting. Lived in a little house. It was me and three sisters, mom and dad, and a little addition on a camper. But I was laying on the couch in the living room. I threw a sheet over my leg. I didn't want to see it, you know. You got to know my dad. If he speaks, you know, you listen and you do, you know. He wanted me to get up and do something, and I really didn't want to get up, but I knew if I didn't, he's going to jerk me up anyway, right? So I didn't want him to know I was hurt because I couldn't fold up knee, whatever. I couldn't wait to go on this little trip. Well, I went to get up, and I fell on my face. And they, oh, my God, rushed me to the hospital. Long story short, they drawed 850 cc's of fluid out my knee, sent it off, come back. It was rheumatoid arthritis. 13 years old. Who does it? I mean, that's unheard of, right? You get old, you get arthritic. Agree? That's what I always thought, but no, Satan was trying to destroy my life when I was 13. Amen? I went to all kind of specialists. Dr. Godin ain't in here. Great man. I respect him so much. He was one of my doctors, one of my specialists. He specialized in rheumatoid arthritis. And Dr. Ferrari, I forget, two or three more, one out of Baton Rouge. Well, they met with us one day in an office. All the doctors, my parents, said, "Look, we're going to prolong this as long as we can. We just want you to know, before you turn 28 years old, which is at 15 years, right, you'll be confined to a wheelchair the rest of your life. You know, there's nothing we can do. There's no cure. Just the facts of life." I was 13. Who wants to hear that at 13? And it was devastating to me as a 13-year-old kid to know that what I got to look forward to. That's my future. Okay, well, I took it as, okay, well, I ain't got long to live, right? Be a cripple. People want to know, why was you so crazy when you was young coming up? I don't know that I'd have been that way had I not got the news I got. I really didn't want to live. I started riding bulls. Maybe that'd kill me. Well, I kind of got good at it. Started traveling the world. Winning money. It was fun. Wasn't nothing I wouldn't get on. Nothing I wouldn't do. God blessed that too without even knowing or trying it. But if I'm going to be a cripple when I'm 28, then I'm going to live life till then. Well, I got about 25. I was still single, and God blessed me with a beautiful wife. And I said, well, I need my daughter to go ahead and try to find me one that's going to take care of me. She was in nursing school. I said, why not? You know, I know I'm going to be a cripple. Well, she caught on to that real quick, dropped out of nursing school, so she wasn't tending to me. But anyway, I got saved, my salvation. I actually went to a preacher's house to beat him up and got saved. A whole nother story. But well, I kicked his door in to go in there and hand to God. Well, y'all know, I got saved. But my father-in-law went to Colorado every year elk hunting around Pikes Peak, Colorado Springs. And I always wanted to go, but he really didn't like me. But after I got saved, he kind of, it might be all right. So he invited me one year, you know. Well, we went up there hunting, and we actually went to Bale and hunting out there, and boy, we found the elk, man. It was just big bulls, and we went in there and scouted and saw, oh yeah, gonna be a slaughter. Couldn't wait to get back the next morning and go in there. We knew we was gonna tag out. I woke up about 3:30 next morning. I was on the floor like a dog chasing his tail. My right eye was hurting like nothing I've ever felt. I couldn't understand it. Well, you know, I was getting shots in my knees every 3 or 4 months and my elbows because arthritis, it lock you up, you know? So, but didn't think nothing of that. Well, he woke up, what's wrong with you? I was running, crying. I said, I'm hurting. I can't see. I'm blind. All right. Just go hunt and kill your elk. I'll try to help you clean it, but I can't shoot. I can't see through my eye, you know? I'm blind. Can't see nothing. Well, we're going to take you to the doctor. I said, no, we done drove off. Well, my father-in-law, I don't care about no elk. So we drove 4 hours down to the doctor in the Springs. And doctor brought me right in, room full of people. Oh, come on, we'll get you in, hurt and whatever. They put some drops in it. He looked at it, put some more drops in it. He looked at my eye, and it was killing me, but it's starting to numb a little. They put something. He said, you got rheumatoid arthritis. I'm like, must be all, I was taking like 30 pills a day, you know, must be a reaction, allergy. I said, oh, is the medicine I take? He said, no, son, your retina behind your eyes deteriorated. You got rheumatoid arthritis and you blind in your right eye and probably won't be long you be blind in your left. I was like, I didn't know it to blind you. Like, God, what are you doing, you know? By then I was a Christian trying to please God and follow God, you know, love God. Got in the car and was driving up. I could see the snow on top of Pikes Peak, beautiful. I was sitting in the back seat of this car, I'll never forget. Followed along the guy we was up there with in the front. I looked up on that mountain. I could just see God's glory in that, you know. And I was like, God, if you want me to be a blind cripple in a wheelchair, I'm good with that, but by God, use me. Use me. I said, if that's where you want me to be, obviously you're in control of my life, and if that's where you want me to be, then use me. Use me there. Don't let me be useless, because that's my biggest fear all along, that I'd be useless. But now I had something, right? I could be used of God in a wheelchair and blind. Amen? And we'd already had a year in advance booked this specialist in Baton Rouge, supposed to prolong it. Maybe I'll make 30, 32 before I get in a wheelchair, right? So we went and saw him, and it was all these people that needed to be there. They was cripples, and they've been waiting to see this doctor for a long time. But on the way over there, my wife's witness, I had an let me back up a little bit. We in a hurry? God woke me up one night. I've only had one vision. I've had some dreams, and God showed me some stuff in my dreams, and I've had experiences with God and through prayer, but I've had one vision in my life. I'll never forget it. How do you? God woke me up on the side of my bed one night. I was like, Jesus, that you? Am I awake? Pinch me. He said, you pinch yourself. You know what I mean? He said, yeah, it's me. I said, this is really happening? You here? He said, yeah. He said, I need to tell you something. He said, people are missing it. I said, what do you mean, God? He said, take nothing away from what I did at that cross. He said, that's eternity. He said, but I didn't have to be tied to that whipping post and beaten for your eternity. I did that for your sickness.
Amen.
He said, and people missing that. Now take nothing away from the cross. This is the greatest thing for all of us. That's eternal salvation in a whole perfect body. But before you went to that cross, and I wasn't up on scripture, you know. I was like, God, would explain to me. Had a Bible laying by my bed. He said, go to Isaiah 53. I opened my Bible. What, God? And he showed me, just like he's with me right here. You know, he said, but he was pierced for our transgression. He was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought peace was upon him. And by his stripes we are healed. He said, my guts was ripped out so you wouldn't have this arthritis in you. I said, well, God, what you trying to say? I'm trying to heal you, fool, if you'll receive it. So I said, okay, praise God. Whatever. I want to hurry. Went to a Bible guy, called me out back, said, hey, you got a bone disease. God wants to heal you. I'm like, yeah, everybody's got something, you know. He prayed over me, and I was like, okay, whatever. On the way out the back of the door, Sherry's old aunt said, hey, God healed you tonight, huh? I said, oh, we'll see. We'll see. She said, a double-minded man won't receive the things of God. Didn't think much of it. Went home. That same night, God woke me up. Opened my Bible to James. Guess what I read? I said, God, I don't want to be double-minded. What are you trying to do? You know, I'm just simple-minded, right? Getting back, going to the doctor. On the way over there, I was driving a truck, and I never felt just a tingling all over my body. It was like, I don't know, the Holy Spirit was just engulfed in that truck. I looked at Sherry. She had her head turned looking out the window. And my whole body just a warm, tingling feeling, and I felt like, oh, my God. I looked at her and said, baby, God healed me. When she turned and looked, her makeup was running. She said, I know. I know. It's that simple. I went to the doctor. I told that doctor, I said, doctor, I said, you got all them sick people out there waiting around. I know you're a busy man. They waited for months to see you. I said, I could go. They need you. I'm wasting your time. He had a folder that thick since I was 13, right? Here I was, what, 28, 29 then, baby? Supposed to be rolling already. He said, son, ain't no cure for rheumatoid arthritis. You got rheumatoid arthritis. He said, I'm going to just try to prolong it for you. I said, doc, you don't understand. God healed me. He's old Catholic, you know. He said, son, God can't even heal rheumatoid arthritis. I said, no, sir. God healed me. I said, what we got to do? Prove it to you. They took 6 or 7, 9 big old glass tubes of blood out of my arms. Never heard back from them. God healed me. Amen. This morning was great. You know, I think God used that. But I really believe that I wasn't prepared to go here, but I really believe that God really wanted to speak to somebody here today that no matter what has come against you, he was tied to a whipping post and beaten for your transgressions and your iniquity. That's your physical and mental. Michelle spoke on it this morning. God's doing something even in the mental spirit here today. Amen? Well, he was beaten with a cat of nine tails that ripped flesh out of him. His guts hanging out. For what? For our salvation? No, he did that on the cross. He allowed them soldiers to tie him to a whooping post and beat him so we don't have to walk in what the Satan comes against us here on earth today. And I think it's important that somebody out here hears that. And I will say this. I don't believe you could receive what God's got for you if you are living an offense on your life, if you are offended with your brother. No matter what anybody done to harm you, wrong you, deceive you, steal you, try to destroy you, love them and forgive them to receive what God's got for you. Amen.
Why don't you just go ahead and give the altar call? Why don't you give it to me? Amen. Today, we all stand with a testimony. Yes. The word of the Lord says this, we're overcomers. Yes. By the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. Nobody can tell your story but you. And today we conquer the things that the enemy would like to destroy us with, all the false accusations and the lies, by standing up tall and saying, this is what the Lord has done. Amen. And greater is he that's in me than he that's in the world. Amen. And God is good. Psalms 111 says this, praise the Lord, and I will give thanks to the Lord with my whole heart. Praise team, you can come. In the company of the upright and in the congregation, great are the works of the Lord, studied by all who delight in them. Greater the works of the Lord, studied by all who delight in them. Has God been good to you? Has God been good to you? You have so much to give the Lord thanks for. Yes, there are things that we could, that come our way. Rita said today, just to know him is enough. There's not enough words to describe how good God is and to realize how much he loves us. I love the reflection today of the promises of God that we're in the midst of a storm, even in the natural. Even in the natural, God shows up. He delivers us. I love Gio talking about how the fact is that his awesome parents who are here today with us, so amazing people. But they've showed him the Father's heart and God's faithfulness. I love Matt and Amanda's story because I know the backstory. I know the background. When the enemy would say, I want you to feel like orphans. Good Lord said, you're more than enough. Yes. I've been friends with Eddie Joe for a long time, and I've never heard that story about that arthritis. And I'm going to say something to that, because he doesn't live in yesterday. He's always looking for the tomorrow. But today, God said, I want to talk to somebody's heart about where you are. It's not where you got to be. Where you are today is not the plan of God for your tomorrow. So when we delight in the Lord and we study that, great things come. Verse 3 says, full of splendor and majestic is his works, and his righteousness endures forever. He has caused his wondrous works to be remembered. I want you to start remembering the things that God's done in your life. The Lord is gracious and he's so merciful. He provides food for those who fear him. He remembers his covenant forever. He shows his people the power of his works in giving them the inheritance of the nations. Come on, say the nations belong to us. Verse 7, the works of his hands are faithful and just, and all of his precepts are trustworthy. They are established forever and ever to be performed with faithfulness and uprightness. He sets redemption to his people. He sent redemption to his people. He has commanded his covenant forever. Holy and awesome is his name. Holy and awesome is his name. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and all those who practice it have good understanding. And it ends with his praise. His praise endures forever. His praise endures forever. I want us to take for the next 5 or 10 minutes.